It's Marketplace Tech for Wednesday the 27th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Today, Facebook will deliver an earnings report. Many analysts expect Facebook to beat expectations. Many are also bullish about the near future, which will be all about exploding watermelons, Chewbacca masks, aka Facebook Live Video. And to see where that's going, Bloomberg Intelligence analyst Jitendra Woral says, look at some of the older competition in the video space.
Just anecdotally, if you just have been using YouTube over the years, you'd notice that, especially if you're using the app now, the ads are much more relevant. They're more high quality. There are a lot of changes happening within the ecosystem, a lot more interest from advertisers than it was before.
Ads are getting more specific to the user over time, thanks to data, and Facebook's got a lot of it. It is helping advertisers know what you do, even when you do it. The company's getting better at predicting that you should get a Lyft ad in your Facebook video on Saturday nights and a pizza delivery ad on Monday night.
So your usage patterns basically in the end drives revenues for these companies and can, you know, help you identify ideas.
Brave new world. We'll see how Facebook is doing later today. Right after it agreed to buy parts of Yahoo, Verizon also gave us an update on profit and revenue this week. It mostly met expectations, and those numbers helped signify a shift in the wireless giant's strategy. You might remember about 40,000 Verizon workers protesting earlier this spring.
What do we want?
Contract.
When do we want it?
Now.
What do we want?
Contract.
When do we want it?
Now.
Those workers were upset in part because the company appears to be moving away from installing wired internet infrastructure and towards investing in more wireless options. Lindsay Turrentine of CNET has been following this. Lindsay, what did Verizon learn from the strike?
Well, what Verizon discovered during this strike was that its workers are very important. There were stories about Verizon lawyers having to go out and run fiber optic lines. So, you know, Verizon really did see the importance of those laborers in the infrastructure part of Verizon's equation. But in the big picture, Verizon is really looking toward, or seems to be looking toward, a future in which that infrastructure is much less important to the company. So it also realized we've got to figure out some ways to not need this infrastructure so much.
And this is related a little bit maybe to the recent announcement about increasing phone plan prices.
Sure. Well, I mean, as we all know, data is really important. I mean, we've all been playing Pokemon Go. We know how much we rely on data when we're out and about in the world. This is interesting now because it really moves some of those bandwidth demands from the home to the mobile device.
Mm.
But long term, Verizon is also talking about what it's going to be doing in 5 years or so, around 2020, to essentially run its entire business wirelessly. It's talking about rolling out 5G. It made an announcement nailing down some of its plans for the technology behind its 5G network. And a 5G network would let users get faster internet connectivity through their mobile devices than they even get at home right now.
And also let Verizon not dig the holes for the wires.
Exactly. I mean, if you imagine that your streaming speeds over your mobile devices are faster than your hardwired speeds at home right now, that's a lot less physical work for Verizon to do.
Lindsay Turrentine, editor-in-chief of CNET. Lindsay, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Ben.
Next week, the Summer Olympics will kick off in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, where it is hot. Many will be preparing to compete in that heat with the help of experts focused on their performance. Recently, we talked to such an expert named Andy Walsh. He helped athletes win big in a cold environment a while back on the snowboard halfpipe in Salt Lake City, Utah.
Ross Powers of the USA.
Nice.
A fan's YouTube video of Ross Powers of the U.S. Olympic snowboard team there back in 2002. Walsh, who helped that team, has a PhD in applied biomechanics. Now he works for Red Bull, helping the energy drink company's sponsored athletes perform better. I talked to him a couple weeks ago.
What have you learned about high achievers?
One of the key things is the courage, first and foremost. Not the physical courage to actually do some of the amazing things they do, but put yourself out there and just, you know, no matter what, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. Put everything else to the side. And that's a brave move for anyone to make, and especially when you think a lot of these people make that decision very young.
Mm. Can you talk about a few of the other common characteristics?
So if you're trying to perform in a marathon, you know, at around the two-hour level, we're looking at you from a biological systems perspective. We're digging in and looking for characteristics. And amongst that community, the running joke is you've got to kind of pick your parents. There's there is a genetic model that fits. So you get into the specific, and you see it. If you watch the opening ceremony, you can pick the gymnasts, and you can pick the rowers, and you can pick the runners, and the sprinters, and the endurance runners.
Uh-huh.
Those models become specific, and that's part of our work, is try to bring these models to a higher level of sophistication.
Athletes don't eat a lot of sugar. One can of Red Bull has a fair amount of sugar in it. So how do you think about high performance and Red Bull, the drink?
What we do is we try and sit down and say, when would be this most appropriate? The sugar is an energy source, and the product will provide this at a certain time. So in your particular portfolio of activity, when's the best time to bring that to the table?
Looking to the future for me, how do you think we are as a society going to be thinking about high performance? How are we going to be pushing our athletes, hopefully in a legal, non-detrimental way, to perform better?
We're going to have the capacity to learn and understand and integrate the sensors and the contextual behaviors and even brain data in a way that starts to unpeel this onion of human performance and give us insights we've never had. What I think the future will unfold is that will be democratized. So everybody will start to have access to this.
Andy Walsh, he's the head of Red Bull's high performance program. Andy, thanks for talking with me.
Hey, thank you very much.
I had that conversation with Andy Walsh during the Wired Business Conference. More from us, as always, at marketplacetech.org. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.